L-E-D-E-N-E-T.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Third hour at Aaron Donick and Jace here on this Wednesday afternoon. Brought to you by Blue Note Juke Joint. Smoother than smooth. Tim Hasselbeck in about 15 minutes. Mike Vrabel this hour as well. Just talked about Blake Topmeyer in Knoxville. He's the one who put out there in the New Sentinel about the 8 coaches who did not take a pay cut. And the latest layer, guys, is that the AD, Philip Fulmer, quietly received a 2-year contract extension, according to Blake Topmeyer, back in May. It wasn't announced, and it had gone unreported until right now. What do we make of that?
I think that's interesting that Tennessee didn't announce it.
Too. I think that
is... they're public.
Yeah,
so how does
exactly, right.
That had to
and
be
when
announced.
Prompted, and when Topmeyer got the info, he did get a statement from the chancellor, which is, it's just, you know, why would you be ashamed to say it if you feel good about it?
Because
this is what you did.
Because clearly you don't feel good about it, and you understand the, you know, the times that we're in, which is exactly what we said. Why did you announce the Jeremy Pruitt thing? I mean, why didn't you just keep that quiet? Which, you know, we talked about it. The minute that story broke, like, this is not the time to be doing that. I mean, those were our words instantly before they played a game this year. And now you've got this quietly, Philip Fulmer has received a 2-year contract extension in May, which was in the middle of all this.
Right. Now, this is what baffles me, why they didn't just come out and say this at the time, because this one makes a lot more sense. Because Philip Fulmer, A, did not get a pay raise from his base salary. Now, there are some incentives that I don't think he's likely to hit with the fiscal situation they're in.
Sure.
But he's not getting a pay raise. He's just getting a contract extension, which takes him through 2023. So there's nothing unreasonable about that. So I don't know why you'd be ashamed to say that. And on top of that, Philip Fulmer was the first to take the 15% salary reduction. When the people were asked to do that, he did it, which is admirable and the right thing to do.
Unlike some people on the football staff.
Well, yeah. Well, that's so on the heels of this, I don't know why they weren't trumpeting that. I don't think there's anything wrong with what they did with Fulmer.
I'm going to ask you guys something.
Right? I mean, he took the pay cut. He got an extension but not a raise. That's
I don't really have an issue with it.
You have it. You have a thought. You probably haven't thought, neither one of you probably haven't thought about this, but I'm just going to throw this out there and just tell me what you think. You know, we always talk about professional sports franchises, you know, in this light. Like, you know, when I say the New York Knicks, you say what?
Like train wreck.
Right. Train wreck, bad organization, right? Poorly run. New York Jets. You know, right. We know all the usual. Right, right. Just we can go through the list of what we think are the poorly run, bad organizations. And so we use that to reference professional sports. Is UT Athletics a poorly run organization?
Well, they've been paying a lot of people. They've been paying a lot of people to not work there.
Think about the last decade plus. Are they a bad run organization?
I mean, and it really started, they were paying the guy that's now the athletic director not to work there. And that's really
what
started
that ball rolling down the hill.
I think you would have to say since that moment, that was probably the moment where it's really gotten a little wacky when you start listing all of the things that have happened since there. The Lane Kiffin, the craziness with Bruce Pearl, all of the football coaches that have come and gone and been paid well after they got fired there. The athletic director fiasco after Mike Hamilton, you know, with Curry. There's been some crazy stuff. It's been some crazy stuff.
Are they not a poorly run outfit?
I mean, I would say yes.
I just think, you know, there's Donnie Tindall and what happened to him. There's been a lot. You know, there was the whole thing with the former baseball coach where he had kind of a, I don't know what's the right word. His degree was not really legit. His college degree, he kind of put one over on them, Serrano. Yep. Not the Serrano from Major League, but Dave Serrano.
Not him and Joe Boo.
So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff there. It's certainly not, I don't know what's the right word, but the word I would say would be inefficient. They have not gotten a lot of bang for their buck. They've thrown money to fix big issues that have come up.
But it's not even about even just poor hires. Like, that. Yes, like that is certainly, that's the main course on the table. But there are a lot of side dishes, right? There is a salad and rolls and, as we get closer to Thanksgiving, I'll use all these references, which is this stuff right here. Like, they just come off as everybody is doing, like, their own thing. They do not come off as a well-oiled machine at all. In fact,
anything but.
At times, it's very rudderless. It just seems like there's no captain at the wheel. Like, how does this happen? Like, it just seems like everything that comes out is always controversial.
I think.
Like, why can't they do things normal?
I do think a lot of people feel better about Fulmer's leadership, that he's done, at least the perception is better with him at the helm, that you do have not a rudderless ship, but he is a guy that provides more stability there.
Agreed. They've had since in a while.
Yeah. But I think when you start looking at reasons why they have not had the success, especially with football, that they have in the past, that's, you'd have to point to that.
By the way, you didn't even bring up the Greg Schiano stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the coaching searches, they have had some wild rides.
The Mike Leach.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's go down the list. Jeff Brohm.
The guy from NC State, Dave Doring.
Even Mike Gundy.
Mike Gundy.
I mean, that was a wild ride. And that was all after the whole Schiano thing.
Yeah,
happened.
I mean, but that's what led to John Curry. I mean, being let go and Fulmer coming in and then Jeremy Pruitt being hired. So yeah, I think there's a lot of baggage, a lot of orange and white bags that are scattered about, and it's one of those things.
There's a lot of money in those bags.
A lot of money, and they haven't been able to shake it because they keep putting themselves in this position. And they're probably the sad part is it's probably going to happen again because I don't see this coach lasting.
By the way, don't forget the Rick Barnes UCLA stuff.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people are like,
they got one put over.
Yeah.
They got put one over on them.
Yes.
That's the perception that they
didn't
need
to
do it. So, and even Fulmer with the decision to extend
Jeremy Pruitt
right, when it really didn't look like there was any need to do it. But here's a couple other nuggets from this article. Let's commend Blake Topmeyer because he's done some very good investigative journalism here, which is important. Fulmer was among 18 contract employees within the athletic department to agree to a pay cut for the first or the final 8 months of this fiscal year. Additionally, 155 at-will employees, in other words, they didn't have a choice, their at-will employees were affected by pay cuts, and it affected people that made $50,000 or more annually. Those are the ones that, took the pay cut. So you got all these people, 155 plus 18 contracted employees, and, of course, we know that T. Martin and Jay Graham accepted the pay cuts on the staff. It just shines a brighter light on the eight guys that didn't take the pay cut. You got almost 200, close to 200 people that took the pay cut, and they didn't do it. Doesn't look good.
Yeah,
it's an awful look. Continues to be an awful look, and you know that's one of those things where you got to go karma. Karma probably comes back to bite you at some point.
I think everything's been biting them. Yeah. Don't know what they've escaped.
That's true.
Have they escaped
a lot of
anything?
Bites.
There's been a lot of bites. It feels like Shark Week going through the Vols' missteps over the last 12 years. I mean, like you said, going back to the initial point, Willie, if you're okay with that and that there's nothing wrong with that, why would you try to slide that under the rug? Why would you keep that quiet? And by the way, who thinks that you're supposed to keep going back to? You remember that's what I had a problem with, the AD at Vanderbilt that wasn't here very long, Malcolm Turner. It's like you can't make decisions and then send it out in a press release and never talk. Like you do have an obligation to announce things and have press conferences and have a Q&A session. Like you can't just, like in this case, not announce anything and just wait and see who digs it up and figures it out. Like this, I mean, here we are in third week in November, and we're finding out about a contract extension back in May?
Right. That's where the PR, to me, this is a PR issue here. Because in May, if you'd come out with it, you could have said, we are extending Philip Fulmer, but we want to make it clear that he's not getting a pay raise. We just want to lock him up. We think he's doing a good job. We think he's the guy that's going to lead us through this. And he's accepted a 15% voluntary pay cut to try to help out with our shortcomings that we're unquestionably going to have here. There would be nothing wrong with that, right? That'd be a positive story. Instead, they chose to just not tell anybody.
The news that keeps coming out of Rocky Top, it just seems like it's always rocky. It's just never seems to be smooth. It's never smoother than smooth, you know? We'll come back. Tim Hasselbeck. On the other side, our weekly chat with him here on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Get you sexy, huh? Don't forget this Saturday, our college football game of the week, right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It'll be a Big 12 matchup, Oklahoma State and Oklahoma. Kickoff is at 6:30 p.m. It can be heard right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, and that's presented by Gary Force Acura. It is time for our weekly chat with Tim Hasselbeck, and we are indeed ready. Brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Tim, how would you handicap Joe Judge and Mark Colombo for UFC 255 this weekend? Who's the favorite?
Well, I'll tell you this. Sometimes I think some guys forget that if you played over a decade in the trenches, that might not be a guy you want to mess with. I don't know a whole lot about Joe Judge's background, but I hosted Mark Colombo on his recruiting trip to Boston College, and he was a roommate of mine, and quite honestly, he was probably one of the three best teammates I ever had, and I wouldn't advise anybody to get involved with him like that.
So you believe the reports that Colombo whipped his tail?
Well, listen, I don't know if that's true. Obviously, the Giants, sent something out saying that there wasn't a physical altercation. But if there were a physical altercation, which I would not advise or condone, Yeah, I'd give that to Colombo 10 out of 10 times.
How does it get to that? I mean, this is bizarro land, you would even have to admit. Or have you seen a head coach and one of his coaches almost come to blows in the past?
Well, I mean, I've seen guys get into it for sure, you know, and kind of teeter on the point of getting physical. I mean, to kind of put it in, you know, a little familiar context for everyone down here. Look, I was with the Giants, and Kevin Gilbride, you know, was the offensive coordinator. And obviously, you know, they were, I believe, the Houston Oilers at the time. But, you know, Kevin Gilbride and Buddy Ryan on TV during a game, you know, got into a fist fight. So, okay, guys get heated in the competition. It is one of these things where it's like it's not a norm. As much as people want to act like it is and try to, you know, we're definitely trending towards a direction of making, you know, the football workplace a more conventional workplace, you know, in terms of how people talk and communicate and things like that versus how it once was. But, look, it's not natural. I mean, there's a lot of things that go on in that work environment that don't exist anywhere else on the planet. So case in point, like people are hitting each other at practice, you know, albeit like in the confines in the you know, in a practice environment with players playing a sport. But, look, you got guys that are former players coaching. You have, you know, guys that are, you know, short-tempered and aggressive and, you know, and you have a difference of opinion or someone's being called out and they don't feel like they're being called out fairly or whatever it is, then that's how it gets to that point. So, I just would say this. I don't, you know, I saw this and, you know, I'll reach out to Mark at some point, I'm sure. But the part for me that, you know, I look at it and I'm like, dang, I mean this wholeheartedly. He is easily one of the best teammates I've ever had. And his playing career was unique in that he was a first-round draft pick, had a horrible knee injury, and totally remade himself, you know, remade his career with the Dallas Cowboys, ended up having a great career, and then immediately was hired onto their coaching staff, probably because they saw a lot of the same things that, you know, they saw in him as a player, as potentially a coach. And, you know, and something like this happens, if it in fact were a physical altercation, I mean, it'd end somebody's coaching career. So I don't know that it's true. I don't know that it's not. But I do know that, like, he's somebody that I would implicitly trust and would love to have on my staff.
Interesting perspective. Crazy finish, you know, with the Titans playing on Thursday night. I was intently watching Arizona and Buffalo, and of course it didn't hurt that I have Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins on the same fantasy team, so obviously I was paying a little bit closer attention.
Yep,
that's right. And it, by the way, it won me the week, so just saying.
Yeah, I got you to 4-6. Good job.
Well, you're 4-6 too.
Ooh.
So.
We are, but I wasn't taunting, or I wasn't you know, touting my team, like you were.
Yeah. Okay,
we're Chase and I haven't talked about our team very much, other than
no,
you know,
well, I did.
We had Saquon Barkley. He got hurt. You know, okay. We're not making excuses. We're trying to battle through.
Okay, I did cut Stephen Kuskowski yesterday, so that was the big news today, Tim. Take us through a Hail Mary. Take us through that play. I was watching the show last night on Showtime. What is it? Inside the NFL, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they were breaking it down, and they were saying everybody, I think it was Phil Simms, who said everybody thinks that's what Lamar or Kyler Murray was trying to do. That play broke down. He was actually looking for Fitzgerald. That was going to be a two-play sequence. Instead, it turned into a one-play sequence.
Listen, Simms is right. It's exactly what I said on SportsCenter immediately after the game. There's 11 seconds left in the game, and you're on the Buffalo 43-yard line. You're not. That's not last play of the game at all. Like there's with 11 seconds left, you're not throwing a Hail Mary. You know, there's a really good shot you could throw a Hail Mary. If you throw it relatively on time because of where you are on the field, you can. You know, you don't have to buy as much time for a guy to get into the end zone. That shouldn't take 11 seconds. You know, guys can run, you know, 40 yards in just over 4 seconds. So they were trying to get a little bit closer. what's interesting about the play design, because they don't have any timeouts left, is you have Hopkins on the left-hand side, and he's running a go route. You have trips to Murray's right, and basically everyone is running some form of an in-cut. And it's really Fitzgerald that's going to be the most shallow in-cut runner, and he's trying to get across the field. And I think they're trying to just get Larry the football on the run to get out of bounds.
Yep.
And so they're running Hopkins down the field, you know, to pull the coverage out, and then here would come Larry, catch it, and get out of bounds. And now all of a sudden you're running your last play, you know, call it from the 35. Well, now from the 35, you maybe have a few other options in terms of what you want to try to do to get into the end zone. What ends up happening is Murray feels like he's getting pushed outside the pocket. He escapes to his left, and he essentially throws it up. At the time he throws it up, it's basically double coverage. The Buffalo Bills are playing too deep. They're playing like a soft cover two. So there's a safety to Hopkins' side, and there's a corner that continues to sink and carry with him as he runs into the end zone. So when that ball is let go from Murray, it looks like it's going to be a jump ball between two players. What ultimately ends up happening because of the escape and then how long it takes the ball to get there, the far side deep safety also runs over and gets into the mix in terms of being able to make a play on the football. So when the ball actually gets there, the moment of truth is actually Hopkins versus what looks like three defenders, and he just jumps higher and catches the football. So, you know, it's funny, you know, look, coaches get a lot of credit for certain situations. Like, that was a situation where they weren't even trying to win the game on that play, but the players ended up making a play in that situation to win it.
Yeah, interesting. Good breakdown by you. We had Bernard Pollard on last hour, and I asked him about kind of all the Greg Roman talk. And, of course, he went up against Greg Roman in the Super Bowl when he was playing for the Ravens, and it was the 49ers offense that so many people were talking about then. Of course, their defense was good too, just like the Ravens, but He kind of said this is more about Lamar Jackson and what he's not doing rather than Greg Roman. Greg Roman, he is saying, is limited. He has put together basically a playbook around what Lamar Jackson can do, and it's more about what he's not doing rather than the OC. Agree or disagree?
Seeing? I didn't hear exactly everything that Bernard said, but I would probably agree with that sentiment and probably agree with much of what he said. He's not throwing the ball great inside the pocket, and so that doesn't help. And then you look a year ago at some of the success that they were having. I mean, they were dominating the middle of the field with all these different tight ends. And because, people were scared to death of defending the run, they were getting a lot of really, really favorable matchups with those tight ends. And I think I've said this to you guys before. The other thing that they were doing is because they were playing these three tight ends and they were running right at you with big downhill backs, teams were forced to match them and try to defend that. And so when they would try to match and defend that, they're putting slower players on the field. They're putting bigger linebackers and slower players on the field rather than playing in like with a nickel defense or some scenario like that. Well, so now all of a sudden you've taken as a defense fast players off the field, put slower players on the field, and then Jackson ends up being the fastest player on the field and he's running with the football. So like there's a big combination of those things happening. The tight ends have been banged up and not as effective. People have started to defend some of these read plays differently, and he's not throwing the ball as well from inside the pocket. And then, I think part of what happens too is you get into an environment like you had the other night where the conditions were really bad, and it makes it harder to throw the football, even harder to throw the football more accurately. And look, that's hard to do, and I think it showed quite a bit.
Talking to Tim Hasselbeck. So all that being said, we're still talking about a Titans defense that has struggled mightily. But for some of those reasons, I see it's such a different way that the Ravens do it even when they're playing well. I wonder if the Titans just welcome playing against a different kind of offense because they've just been picked apart by some good quarterbacks the last three or four weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, it is a matchup league. And if you just think about some of the struggles early, like before they cut Jonathan Joseph, like it was clear that people were coming into that game saying, okay, let's get in as much three wides as we can and attack this player, because that's, as we look at this team and this defense, you know, that's the player that we want, you know, that we want to go after. So, yeah, it's a matchup league. I do think that, you know, the Titans from a physical perspective, you know, especially with how good they are in the interior defensive line, I think, you know, going into games where teams are like, hey, we're going to challenge you by trying to run right at you, you know, I don't think that when people look at the Titans, like that's how they want to attack them. So I think in some ways, yes, it's a different scheme, but also maybe a different scheme that you maybe just how your personnel is suited better to defend them.
As we look at the AFC East, and now the Patriots still appear to have a heartbeat, and it's kind of like a vampire, right? Just when you think they're totally dead, they've strung together a couple, even though they were very fortunate to beat the Jets. But I guess that's where my question goes. Do you feel like they're going to be in this thing down the stretch?
Yeah, I mean, with more teams making the postseason, I think it's too early to write them off. And, you know, are they a perfect team, and are they going to turn it around like they have in other years? I don't think that they necessarily will. You know, unless something drastically changes with how Cam is passing the football. Remember, this is a team that a lot of guys, you know, opt out of the season, and, you know, they're struggling at wide receiver. They, you know, they're inexperienced at a bunch of positions on the defensive side of the ball. So, look, I could see them getting in because I think they're so well coached that they maybe find a way to do it by, you know, stringing enough together and then somebody else kind of stubs their toe. But, look, you look at that division. Here's what I do think is going to happen in that division that ends up being really interesting is the Bills are on their bye. So they'll be 7-3 coming off of this week. The Miami Dolphins, I believe, play the Broncos this weekend.
Yep,
I think it's a game that they should win, especially with, you know, kind of how things are going in Denver right now. And so now all of a sudden, that would be a 7-3 team. At this point, with, you know, defense and special teams kind of thriving in Miami right now, I think we maybe talked briefly about Tua's, you know, first start. You know, he really did nothing, but his last two games he's done a pretty good job. And I think that if he can make good decisions and make enough plays with how they're playing on that side of the ball, 7-3 with those two teams, you know, after week 11, that would be incredible. And I think a legitimate two-team race.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. We were kicking this around earlier, Tim, is – there are a lot of teams where you look at the record and you look at the remaining schedule and you're saying, yeah, they could get to 10 wins. And even though it's an expanded field, in the past, 10-6 rarely keeps you out. But we were wondering if it's possible a 10-6 game could get left out in the cold in the AFC because of how bad the NFC East is. And there are some other teams that appear to be going in the wrong direction. And so you start doing the math and you say, is it possible? That would be a tough thing. Think about the Titans, 4 straight years of 9-7. If they were to move up to 10-6 and not get in, that'd be tough.
Ooh. Yeah, that would be. I mean, I don't know that would happen. I don't, you know, I'm just kind of looking at the standings now. I will believe that when I see it, when it shakes out.
But there are a lot of contenders.
There are, but I do feel like part of what happens is this. If we just kind of like were to look right now and be like, okay, well, how different is it? Just quarterback position or other injuries, you know, things that, you know, where teams look differently now than they did at the start of the season. So, like, we still have a long way to go. And that's the part for me, you know, it's interesting. I know I've talked to you guys about this before. Like, I had a game canceled because of COVID 2 weeks ago. I had another one canceled this weekend. You know, I'm just looking at this situation where, you know, I kind of feel like in some ways we're going the wrong direction, and I'm and I just think back to what I thought about the season, you know, when it started, it was like, look, this is a marathon. You know, an NFL football season is a marathon. And being from Boston, like, I feel like we're like just about the bottom of Heartbreak Hill. You know what I mean? Like, we're over halfway there, but like the hard work is starting right now. And, you know, I just say that in that, look, there's just, you know, guys, you know, injuries or teams where it's like, man, oh, hey, Las Vegas, they started off great. And, but like, you know, they could lose five straight, you know, they could totally, you know, kind of mess this up. Same thing with Cleveland or, you know, some of these teams that feel like they're in the mix right now. Look, I think Miami's doing a good job, but like it is a rookie quarterback. Like maybe I haven't assessed that situation properly. So I don't think there'll be a 10-win team on the outside looking in with expanded postseason.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us, ESPN NFL analyst, also does some college football as well. So speaking of Miami and what they've been doing, it's not that the team is on the shoulders of Tua right now, but Brian Flores, their head coach, is he kind of where you thought he'd be in his second year, or is he ahead of schedule with how he's developed as the head coach?
I think how the team has done is ahead of schedule. You know, as you remember back, they basically were giving good players away. I mean, they were on a full reset mode, you know, basically, you know, fire sale down in Miami. And the talk a year ago was that they were tanking, you know, but they clearly weren't tanking as a team because of the way that they were competing, but they clearly were kind of resetting their roster. So I was surprised that, you know, they had as much success as they had a year ago. Based on how they did last year, I'm not surprised that they've been having success, you know, so far this year. And in terms of, you know, how I thought he would do as a head coach, he's another guy that's a former teammate and friend of mine from college that, you know, I always thought he would do well. I think he has more self-awareness than people realize. You know, he was in line for some interviews and some jobs, you know, prior to 2 years ago, and he really kind of decided to sit back and wait because, you know, he wanted to be more ready. And I think that he's clearly ready now, and so in a lot of ways I'm not surprised.
So you mentioned the Browns. The Browns are a team that I look at and I go, okay, yeah, they've won six games. They're competitive. They're there, but they're eventually everybody's going to wake up and go, oh yeah, we're the Browns, and they're going to fall off. Do you feel that way, or do you look at them as they could be a contender? We could be sitting here talking about a scenario where Pittsburgh and Cleveland get in from the north, and Baltimore's on the outside looking in.
Well, that I do feel like that definitely could happen. But I do think this. I think a lot of what we've thought about the Browns in the past in terms of, you know, just being the Browns and kind of drama and things kind of, you know, getting out of control and guys that you're expecting to play well not playing well. I think that era has changed. I really do. And you know, part of what Kevin Stefanski clearly has done is he's changing the culture and he's cleaning it up and making it a much more professional operation from the football side. It just was not. And so because of that, you know, they've started to enjoy some success. And if you just look at their upcoming schedule, you know, kind of to you know, just looking ahead at how a team could do, teams that are still on their schedule that I would say, look, they're going to win that game. But they play Philadelphia. That, to me, is a win. They play Jacksonville. Then they have the Giants and the Jets. Like, that's four games where you think those are all games that they absolutely should win. Games that are probably not in their favor are Tennessee, Baltimore, and Pittsburgh. But listen, if they win four more games, here we go back to that conversation of getting to 10 wins. Like, they should get to 10 wins, and I think they've got a good shot at doing it.
So as we all monitor what's going to happen in Michigan, do you think that there's still a spot in the NFL for Jim Harbaugh?
That was a really good team you know, teams that he had in San Francisco. I think he's a good coach. Good coaches, you know, doesn't always mean that you can ultimately get that opportunity again. I mean, there's only 32 jobs, you know, different owners are looking for different things. You know, so I don't know how that ends up working out. And I think that, you know, there's probably been some, you know, I think there's probably a reputation in terms of what he's like to work with. You know, because he's not like a lot of guys. And so, you know, because of that, you know, I'm not sure. But he's been a guy that's taken a team to a Super Bowl. He obviously is a good coach. You know, if I were interviewing somebody, it would be hard not to interview him. But ultimately, if he ends up getting that opportunity, you know, I just think they're hard to come by. And I think there are other good coaches. I mean, just like take whatever you think of Jason Garrett. Jason Garrett coached for a lot of times, got experience. Would you want to interview him? I'm sure you would. But doesn't get another head coaching job. Like, I'm not sure that it happened. So I don't know. I don't know that he does, but I think it would be hard to not interview him.
You think he's at Michigan next year?
I don't think that you can lose some of the games that he's lost at Michigan and stay. I mean.
Saturday was a bad look on ABC. Bad look. Not that Indiana the week prior was good, but man, it got worse.
It was 28-0 at halftime. I mean, it was brutal. And like that just should look. You may not have great years, but you can't get run off the field by Wisconsin. You know, that's
not at home on national television.
No.
Tim, good stuff as always. Really appreciate it. Have a great week, and we'll do it again next week.
Cool. See you guys.
All right, that's Tim Hasselbeck, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine there in Bellevue. We go from one friend to another. I want to talk to you about my friends over at Cool Springs MD. I've been going there for years. A lot of you have been going there. They've been around for years in this market, since 2007, helping a lot of you improve your quality of life. And I hope you want that as much as I do, especially as we all get older. Dr. Jeffrey Lodge is the board-certified physician. His wife, Daphne, is the registered nurse, and their experienced staff would love to help you in a lot of things. They can help you in a lot of things. Maybe you've been feeling off lately. You haven't felt like yourself. You haven't had any energy. You haven't had any drive to do anything. Maybe you've been feeling off with your personality, your mood. You had some mood swings. Well, get in there and let them talk to you about hormone replacement therapy. Let them check your levels. See if maybe your levels have not, maybe they've dipped to an all-time low. Your levels tend to go down in most people as we all get older, and that can affect you in some of those, if not all of those categories. So you can talk to them about that. Face and body rejuvenation, obviously that's something as we all get older, like to explore weight loss management. This is always important, but it's vitally important in 2020 with what we've gone through, and everybody gets it. You've gotten out of your routine. And maybe you've tacked on some unwanted pounds you'd like to get rid of. Well, get in there and talk to these folks. And they've got people in place and programs that can get you headed back in the right direction. If you need to schedule an appointment or a consultation, dial this number, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. Or if you want to learn everything about them, just go to their website, coolspringsmd.com. Good stuff from Tim Hasselbeck. He was brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Well, speaking of them, they also provide our NFL Game of the Week along with Gary Force Acura, and our Game of the Week in the NFL on Sunday will feature the Packers and the Colts. That's kind of a big deal in this market. You should be paying attention. That will follow whatever happens in Baltimore between the Titans and the Ravens. That coverage will begin at 3 o'clock. Kickoff is at 3:25. Here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. So keep that in mind after you watch the Titans and the Ravens. Tune in to 102.5 The Game and hear Packers and Colts. Like I said, that's kind of a big deal for the Titans, especially with the outcome. I heard Wesley Woodyard, which we always enjoy talking to over the years when he was a member of the Titans, on with Robbie and Rex Road in their final hour today, this morning. And you do wonder. And he actually talked about the leadership in the room, right? We've discussed that because he is one of those key guys. And Bernard Pollard told us that Wesley Woodyard is a guy that he respects on and off the field. Everybody does, right? I mean, how could you not? Look, if you got a problem with Wesley Woodyard, we were around him enough over the years. It's more of a you problem than him, because he's a really sharp cat. He's a good guy. He's a good teammate, and he's a guy that's great in the community and great away from the field. But he really made a point to bring him on. But in fact, if we have that clip, Elijah, let's play it, because I asked Bernard Pollard about the whole leadership in the room. And we'll kind of go back to that. Do you guys think that's a real missing ingredient with this group? Because Wesley Woodyard brought up that he's had conversations throughout this season about Jayon Brown kind of stepping up that element of his game, which is the off-the-field part, like in the room, you know, stepping up, being more of a leader. What do you guys think?
Well, it's hard to quantify these things. You definitely miss those guys. There's no doubt. We've gone round and round on this throughout the season. It's easy to point your finger at that. I think it's a factor. I don't know if it's the biggest factor. But that being said, I think we're all huge fans of Wesley Woodyard. I don't know what he's doing now, but he seems to be a guy that you'd love to have around. Like, he had clearly reached the end of his playing days. He didn't
play.
He said
he's down in Orlando. That's what he said in the interview.
He didn't play a lot last year. But so his playing career was clearly, you know, in the twilight.
He did in the playoffs.
Yeah, and I mean,
because
of Jayon
Brown's injury, they had to go to him more.
Well, and David Long.
It was the situational, right? But I see him as a guy who would make a great coach, a great guy to have in the fold somewhere if he was interested.
He was a captain his entire career, so I mean there's something to be said for that. And yeah, we've had this conversation quite a bit, but they are missing those guys. They are, and I think that Jayon Brown and others have stepped into that role and they've taken that role the best that they can, but you don't expect it to happen overnight either. I mean, it's going to take time. It's going to take experience. I mean, a lot of the guys they're replacing, they've been doing this a long time, whether it's Woodyard, Jarrell Casey, Logan Ryan. I mean, they have gone through the ringer and learned a lot along the way. So, you know, whether it's Rashawn Evans or Jayon Brown or even Kevin Byard, you have to expect them to learn as they go, and it's just going to take a little bit of time to try and replace that leadership that was lost.
Well, I mean, but Jayon Brown has been, you know, and we've talked about this before, and I told you guys, he's a super nice guy. I've enjoyed our chats with him. I just don't see him as really that guy. He's more on the quiet side. I mean, look, either you have it or you don't. You can't coach up being a leader. Either you are either equipped with that or you're not. I don't, you know, it's like the whole respect thing. Like, you can't make people respect you. Either they respect you or they don't. They respect the way you operate or you don't. Like, you can't coach that up. At least that's the way I believe, and I don't believe you can do that. You can't make somebody be a leader. You can't coach it. Either they are a leader or they're not a leader. And it doesn't make you a bad person if you're not.
Right. I agree with that, but I also think that there's, you know, the human element too of, you know, Jayon Brown could have been identified as, all right, that guy's got leadership potential. But with so many others in the room, you have to know your role. And so I think it's also, you don't just step up and go, hey, those guys are gone, I'm the leader now. It's still all earned. So I think that it's all part of that process. And I believe that there are guys in that room that have looked at Jayon Brown for a couple of years now and said, okay, I can learn something from him. I need to pay attention to him. But it's also just, you know, a time thing. Well, those guys just left.
I mean, Mariota can be respected, but you can't force him to be a leader.
That was the knock on him.
Well, that's my point. You can respect him, his quiet demeanor, super nice guy. That doesn't mean it translates into leadership.
Well, the question is this. I think we would all say, upwards and downwards, Logan Ryan, Wesley Woodyard, and Jarrell Casey, those three guys, they fill up all the boxes when it comes to being pros, being leaders, all of that. I think the real question is not, are they missing those guys? I think they are from that standpoint. But if you could do it over again, would you bring those guys back? Because I think you can say that it was the right move to move on from them at this stage of their careers. That's where it gets tougher, because I think you'd love to have those guys forever as leaders and people, but people age out of their ability to help the team on the field as players. I think that's the tough part about it. That's what makes it complicated.
Yeah, but what two areas of the defense especially have suffered the most? The defensive line and the secondary.
Right, but would they have made a difference at this stage of their career? Logan Ryan hasn't. It's a different role. It's hard to say with him.
Logan Ryan
Casey
had one of
got
his
hurt.
Best years last year.
Last year, I'm talking about this year.
He's played pretty well for the Giants, from what I can tell. I mean, I'm not watching every snap, but he's had an impact. I mean, he had a crucial game winning or he had an interception to end the game against Washington, which kind of started like this little mini streak that they're on.
Right. So that's what I'm asking. Is that the price that they paid? I don't know what the Giants
was it
ended
seven
up
was it seven and a half? Right? Was that right? Seven or seven and a half?
Yeah.
And basically the swap of Casey and his contract, which has ramifications beyond this year, for a one-year deal with Clowney. What does that swap look like? And then, as we said, Woodyard was getting to a point where he wasn't being used a lot, and he's a year older, and he's out of the game now. So I don't know what the choices were. I guess you could have brought back Casey and Ryan, but that would have affected other things that you did with the money.
Sure.
So, would they have come out ahead in that? I don't know if there's any guarantee. We don't know if Casey would have gotten hurt in the same way, but we knew he was an injury risk, which is part of the reason they were willing to trade him.
Right. And I would, at least my opinion, I think they miss of the guys we're talking about. They miss Ryan the most. That's my opinion. And you guys remember last year?
I think Woodyard. I think Woodyard.
From leadership or from overall?
Leadership.
Okay,
leadership.
From leadership, sure, but just overall, you know, play and leadership, I think, you know, they're really missing Logan Ryan in the secondary.
I don't think so. Because what have we talked about? What have Bernard Pollard, what has been brought up so much here recently when talking about their secondary? What are they lacking?
Speed.
Yeah. Logan Ryan's not speed.
No, Logan Ryan is not speed.
Not speed at all. So,
now, would he have been better than Jonathan Joseph? Yes, but he also would have been way more expensive than Jonathan
Joseph. How does that help you when everybody is identifying this team desperately needs more team speed in that secondary? Logan Ryan's not that.
So, Darren, let's go back to your point. They're missing Woodyard the most, which I think is a reasonable explanation. Maybe that's true, but would you keep him just for that? Or did he want to come back?
No, Willie, the answer is...
If you're not really going to use them on the field that much?
The answer is no to all of them. It really is. The problem, and it's so difficult, I'm not envious of the task of trying to draft or bring in leaders, because it's hard, right? How do you really know unless you found a way to get to the right people to sit you down and say, hey, just want to let you know, I think we all can see the tape that this guy is a heck of a player, but let me just tell you a little bit more about him as a person. Like this guy, you're going to want this guy in your room, right? If you can get those people that can tell you, like, hey, this guy in your room, you're going to love. It's hard to get that info, right? So you don't really know guys that are going to trade. So you hope that it translates when you bring them in, but it's tough. It's tough to get. I think we just kind of saw it kind of play out in the Predators room, right? They were kind of like, okay, now they're kind of looking for a new, more guys to kind of change a little bit of the vibe in the room, a little bit tougher, right? A little bit different vibe. And it's tough because it's not easy to do. That is an incredibly difficult jigsaw puzzle. It really is. And I think we all thought that, you know, Rashawn Evans, right, was going to take the step, like leadership, player, everything. Like, it, you just you kind of identify guys, but it doesn't mean it's going to happen. I'm not saying it's not happening, but I think there are certain guys that you would think it's now time for them, but you can't make it happen. It's got to happen organically. And I don't think you can pay guys millions of dollars if they truly can't help you win games just for the leadership part. Yes, do I think it's important? Yes. But to answer your question, Willie, I just think on all those guys, it was just time. And it stinks because you are now missing that leadership element. But you can't pay millions of dollars for it. It's still got to help you win on Sundays.
Right. You have to evolve. The rest of your room has to evolve. And maybe that's where the gap is.
Yep.
They have not made up that gap yet.
All right. We'll come back. We'll head down on the plains and find out a little bit about the Vols' next opponent, the Auburn Tigers. And by the way, Jeremy Pruitt today, non-committal on who will be the starting quarterback, which I don't think really should surprise anybody, but just thought I would pass that along. We know Week 10 is in the books. It is time to concentrate on Week 11. Hey, you got some action tonight. You've got the Seahawks in Arizona on Thursday night. You've got some college games on Thursday and Friday, and a full slate over the weekend. And there is no better place to find all that action than DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. To add the excitement of everything I just laid out there, going into Week 11, DraftKings Sportsbook is bringing back their can't-miss offer. If you haven't tried DraftKings Sportsbook yet, head to the App Store. It's free and easy to do. Download it because you're not going to want to miss on this. Listen to this. DraftKings Sportsbook is giving all new users a chance to earn a signing bonus up to $1,000. When you use the promo code 1025GAME, DraftKings Sportsbook has endless ways for you to bet, from live betting to betting on your favorite players. They do it all. Don't worry. If football isn't for you, they're also going to give all MMA fans who sign up right now a chance to triple their winnings for any bet placed on UFC 255. DraftKings is safe, reliable, and secure, making it easy for you to deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. All you have to do, once again, is download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use the promo code 1025GAME, and when you sign up, you can get up to $1,000. That code 1025THEGAME, get a deposit bonus up to $1,000. It's for a limited time, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 years of age or older. Tennessee only. Bonus comprised of first deposit bonus. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and needs help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
L-E-D-E-N-E-Z. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I have been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.